This segment is brought to you courtesy of Caribbean American Weekly, a newspaper owned and operated by Caribbean Americans. Read the latest edition at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To like us on Facebook, to advertise or to subscribe, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To advertise with the Caribbean American Weekly publication, for freelance assignments, to distribute at your business place, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. Or to meet a marketing representative at our office, call 718-771-0988. That's 718-771-0988. A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very special guest, the Honorable Brian Benjamin, who is the Lieutenant Governor of New York. Welcome, sir. Good to have you here with us.
So glad to be here.
Our pleasure. So tell us, who is Brian Benjamin?
Sure. Well, Brian Benjamin is a son of a Guyanese mother and a Jamaican father who came to this country with the hope for a better life. Both my parents, hardworking immigrants. My mother worked as an assistant for a union president at Local 372 and DC 37, a lot of the school aides workers. And my dad first was my bus driver. I introduced him to my mother when I was four, but he was also a janitor at Stuyvesant High School for a long time, a good union member of 32BJ. So my parents are both hardworking union members, and they raised me and my siblings to just work hard and be good citizens. And I was fortunate to go to Catholic school from K to 12. And then I went to Brown University and Harvard Business School, where I spent a lot of time focusing on public policy and investing in the community, building affordable housing, and being a part of my community. I've always found that I need to give back. That's just something that is in my system, because I feel like I've been given so much from by New York City and by Harlem and by communities of color who've just poured into me that I want to give back. And so it's an honor when I was asked to be Lieutenant Governor, and I'm able to serve as the first Lieutenant Governor of Caribbean descent. And I try to make sure that as I do my day-to-day job, that I'm an advocate for our community, and that I ensure that everyone has a seat at the table, everyone's included, whether it's a conversation of economic development, public safety, health, housing. You know, I bring that vantage point of someone who who spent time in Guyana, spent time in Jamaica, spent time all over the Caribbean. I bring that to bear on my job, and I think that that's an important part of my identity, but it influences the policy that I help to enact.
Excellent. So we saw at 4 years old that you showed leadership and initiative. You showed your mom to your stepdad. So kudos there.
Thank you.
So what exactly is the role of Lieutenant Governor?
Sure. So the Lieutenant Governor has a number of important roles. First and foremost, you have to be prepared that if for some reason the governor is not able to do the job of governor, whether they pass or they have to leave, you have to step into the role of governor and be prepared to lead the state. You also have a constitutional role where you're the president of the Senate. And so I actually come from the Senate. That was my job before becoming Lieutenant Governor. And so you have the responsibility of helping to run the Senate. And you are mostly responsible for being an advocate on behalf of the governor and on behalf of the people. I think it's a combination. You're a partner with the governor to advocate for the people. And so I'm able to involve myself in so many important issues, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And that's really the role. And it's an important role. Sometimes when the governor has to spend a night out of state, I assume the role of governor until she returns. And so whether that's signing proclamations to authorize new elections and or important legislative decisions, I play that role. And so you're really like a junior governor. You're almost like how the vice president is to the president. It's a similar kind of a role.
Well, given the history of the last governors, it really, you are governor in training, because we've seen what happened with the last governors. So be ready, ready to go. So,
and part of that real quick is, you know, I spend a lot of time with the commissioners learning about a number of our key agencies, dealing with some of our important issues. The governor gives me very important issues to deal with. And that's part of how you learn how to and prepare.
Okay. So let's look at the issues right now.
Sure.
And we're going to start with criminal justice and reform.
Sure.
And we know that you are strong advocates of criminal justice. What exactly does bail reform mean to you and Governor Kathy Hochul? And as a team, how do you both plan to address bail reform to ensure fairness and hope to the minority communities?
So first, I think the real question we have to talk about is public safety and how we keep us safe. The number one job of our executive leaders, that's mayor, governor, lieutenant governor, is to keep everyone safe. So first we were focusing on the pandemic, which really had some real concerns and we had some real issues there. We've been driving and focusing on that. When you talk about the issue of public safety, bail reform is a part of that conversation. So what we believe is the following. We believe that for too long, when crime goes up and there's issues in communities, the one and only option that gets brought to the table is law enforcement, right? It's incarceration. We believe that you have to have some elements of law enforcement for accountability, but it is also enormously important that we focus on the root cause that had the law enforcement show up in the first place, right? We believe that we need to focus on proactive solutions, and we think that law enforcement is a reactive solution, an important Band-Aid when it needs to be used, but doesn't get to the key issue, the key infection. So, a couple of points. Number one, we think that we have to deal with this iron pipeline. There are too many guns coming to this state from Georgia, from South Carolina, from other states, Pennsylvania, they're coming into New York. We don't have any gun manufacturing facilities in Brooklyn, none in Southeast Queens and Harlem. So we believe we need to stop the guns from coming in. We started an interstate task force on legal guns that the governor's asked me to chair on her behalf. And we have already seized over 1,600 guns coming in from other states. Why? Because we're working with law enforcement in 9 states and the federal government to help address that. Mm-hmm. Second, we are very focused on this issue of mental health. When you look at a number of the issues that have been occurring in our communities and what we're seeing in the papers on television, there are mental health issues that are underlying that. So we need to focus not on incarcerating those individuals, but on getting them the mental health support that they need. We cannot continue to close funding to psychiatric support, to mental health beds. We have to focus on that issue. And so we're looking to do that as well. And we have to deal with our young kids who have emotional problems, don't know how to deal with rejection, having issues with conflict resolution. In our schools, we have to train and teach our young people for that. We also have to deal with this issue of workforce development and economic opportunities. When our young kids are given these, who are in poverty and poor situations, they're given these jobs on the streets. What are we giving them an alternative to that? How are we investing in jobs, investing in their skill set, giving them, exciting them about community, the opportunities that are available to them right now? We have to invest, we have to pour in, we have to hire our young people so that they have a sufficient alternative. And we have to deal with the homelessness and the housing issue. It's a real concern. We have people who are really suffering out there, and we have to invest in not just these temporary shelters. We need permanent supportive housing. We're spending a lot of money in our budget to do that. I think if we think about this as a multi-pronged, comprehensive problem and not cherry pick and pinpoint, you know, one or two items that get a lot of press, then we will actually help to resolve the issue of public safety. And bail reform is a piece of that, but there's so much more to it.
Okay. So I know that the governor is looking to give judges more, you know, flexibility with the bail reform. Do you want to touch on that?
So here's what we're doing. The governor is spending time negotiating and working with the legislature. I'm a part of those conversations. We don't want to discuss that in public because we're not trying to have this be a public conversation. We want this to be a private conversation with the leaders where we focus on that. But this is the most important thing you have to understand. The governor wants to have a comprehensive plan around public safety where we address the root causes. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of attention that gets centered around bail reform, but we need as much, if not more, attention focused on the root causes that we have to address because we want there to be less need for law enforcement, less need for incarceration. We can only do that if we invest in those key factors. We have just opened an Office of Gun Violence Prevention. Mm-hmm. The governor believes very strongly that we need a coordinating entity. We have a young team that is helping to pull that together because we understand we have to deal with some of the issues on our streets. Let me tell you something. The amount of activity on our social media where, I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but we're seeing young kids on social media showing videos of talking about who they're trying to kill and all that. We have to really be focused on the social media. We have to be focusing on investing in intelligence analysts who can help us really deal with some of the preventative work that is going to help us get there. We think that if we do that, we will win, and that's what we're focusing on.
Excellent. We know that New York's healthcare system is failing minorities. We have the highest incidence of diseases and receive less than the best healthcare. The COVID-19 pandemic highlighted and exacerbated these disparities. As a minority and the lieutenant governor looking for a full term, what are your plans to address this inequity?
Yeah, so just as a general premise, every single topic that we focus on, we look at it from a lens of equity. We look at it from a lens of making sure everyone has a seat at the table, everyone's voice is included. That is an important part of what we do. You know, one of the reasons why we are looking in our budget to invest $10 billion in the healthcare workforce, because we understand that it was the hospital workers, it was the home health aides, a lot of whom are people of color and a number of whom who are Caribbean. Many of us in our families know and have family members who are nurses, who are home health aides. We want to give them bonuses. We want to give them increased wages. We want to hire more people, $10 billion worth over the next 5 years, because we believe there's nothing more important than A, giving people the respect that they deserve and paying them accordingly. And then at the same time, also increasing the support so that we don't have a few people dealing with the stress, not only with the pandemic, but there will be other issues and other crises that happen. And so we're trying to put our money where our mouth is and invest in communities in a real way.
Okay, great. So looking at the education system, New York has the most segregated school system in the country.
Yes, we do.
The country. And that has been happening for the past decade. As a parent of two beautiful black girls.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. What are your concerns for those parents who don't have a voice and your recommendations as Lieutenant Governor?
Sure. My biggest concern is that I want to make sure in every single community there are quality educational options and opportunities for people. You know, when we lived in Brooklyn, my mother and I used to get on a bus and a train, the B83 to Broadway Junction to get on the train so that we could get me to a decent Catholic school. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I had to get up and pass public schools on the way there. I want to make sure that we have quality options for families in our communities. But I think we're investing the money. We're investing record money in education. The campaign for fiscal equity, which was a campaign to make sure that we provided the billions of dollars that are required in schools of color to make sure that they have the same competitive opportunities than some of our schools in other neighborhoods. But I think while that's important, I think we have to understand a lot of times by the time some of our kids get to school, it's late, right? We haven't invested in the early education. We haven't invested in the childcare, given parents the tools that they need to help raise and prepare their children for a future. How are we, you know, for some kids, they need a broader family to help them get to where they need to go. And so for me, that's a big priority. And I think it's not only an issue of more money, but how are we spending the money? How are we ensuring that those dollars are being held accountable for delivering real results in our community? That is something that is usually happens on the local level. The mayor does control and manage the schools with the school's chancellor. But in our investments, we're investing in ways where we're ensuring that the schools that have been historically left out, the schools that don't have the fancy PTAs with the million-dollar endowments, mm-hmm. that those schools are getting the resources that they need. We just need to make sure that those monies are spent in a way that are helping these kids live a great life.
So do you think open enrollment could be a solution?
I am a strong believer that choice matters. I think that parents should have choice. I think that choice would assist better decision making by the schools themselves if they know that parents can vote with their feet. And I believe we should do it within the public school system because, you know, I went to Brown and business school, and I believe that, you know, results matter. And I believe parents should not be obligated to schools that don't work for their children.
Okay, so the big race is June the 28th.
That's the primary, yes.
That's the primary, yes. Normally, if you win the primary, you're pretty much good to go in.
Not in the New York City, but in the state, not necessarily. I mean, we had a Republican governor, Pataki, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Just last year in Long Island, we saw races where...
That's true. So you can't take anything for granted.
Can't take anything for granted.
Which is a good attitude to have.
but there's no doubt that you want to win the primary.
Okay, yes. So the big race is June the
20th. That's right.
And former Governor Cuomo is considering entering the race, and a recent poll shows him a couple of points behind Governor Hochul, who was his former lieutenant governor.
That's right. Are there
any concerns, or what are your plans to...
Our plan is a very simple plan. Mm-hmm. We have a budget that is due April 1st. We are working aggressively to ensure that we have our public safety plan in this budget, that we make sure that we have affordable housing, $25 billion of affordable housing in this budget, a number of which is supportive housing for those who need it. We are making sure that we're going to bring $10 billion for our healthcare workers, our hospital workers, making sure that we are spending billions of dollars to help clean up our environment, and while doing so, ensuring that we're creating jobs and a workforce that is reflective of the communities we live in, investing in our public housing, making sure that on an economic development standpoint, our minority women-owned business have the opportunities that we need. We believe that by doing that and doing our jobs, good government leads to good politics. And so we really have to focus on that. And that's all we can do right now, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with Albany, but it is not an easy place to get things done. And
I
so we've got to focus all our efforts. And look, I have a background, you know, I was a state senator. I represented the Senate. I used to preside over the Senate. You know, funny enough, the president of the Senate is the lieutenant governor. But then when the lieutenant governor is not in session, there's an acting president. I used to serve primarily doing that on behalf of the majority leader in the state. So I'm very aware of how legislation gets passed and how things get done. We have to deliver for New Yorkers. I believe if Governor Kathy Hochul and Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin deliver for New Yorkers, we will win in June.
Okay. It's funny because I was interviewing Senator Robert Jackson
when
the news broke about you being the lieutenant. So I got to pose that question to him right away, and he had very great things to say about you.
Absolutely.
And said you were actually the president of the Senate.
So
June the 20th, the top three reasons why one should vote Brian Benjamin as lieutenant governor.
First, I'm uniquely focused on keeping New Yorkers safe. That's what I was talking about earlier on our public safety plan. Like people need to know that they can go to work and they can live, and that their government is trying to keep them safe. Secondly, uniquely focused on helping to build affordable housing. I used to build affordable housing before becoming a senator, particularly in low-income communities. It is an enormous priority, and so I'm focused on that. And then third, economic development, making sure that there's equity across the board in all the topics that I brought up, but that communities of color, we're getting access to contracts, we're getting opportunities, and we are investing in workforce development. So as we are building these new jobs, we are becoming a state where we're moving from fossil fuels to renewable energy. Those are thousands of jobs. I want to make sure that young people and people in our communities are being trained for those jobs. So public safety, affordable housing, and real economic development with diversity and equity and inclusion overlaying all of that. I want everyone to have a seat at the table, and that is my job in this administration.
Okay, so Mr. Benjamin, how can one support and also find more information about your candidacy?
Absolutely. You can go to brianbenjamin.org. Please reach out. I'm very available on social media. People find me. Brian Benjamin New York is my handle. Just find me and reach out to me. Go on my Facebook page. Send me a message, and we'll connect you to the campaign team.
Okay, so thank you so much, sir, for sharing this great information and you know, handling those topics that are so important to us. And we look forward to having you back again.
And thank you to Caribbean American Weekly for all the hard work that you're doing to make sure that our community, and when I say our, I got to now talk about my Caribbean family, that our community has access to information, hears from their leaders. And I can say, you know, it is, I am the first Lieutenant Governor of Caribbean descent, but I will not be the last. We're going to continue to build a pipeline, and I'm part of that. Amazing, talented individuals, a number of whom live in Brooklyn, so that we can have those opportunities. I think of Senator Roxanne Prasad from Guyana, who's a great sister. Oh my God, I can start going on and on. I'll be here for 30 hours. I don't want anyone to get mad at me. But we have a lot of great Caribbean American legislators who are fighting for our issues, fighting for our communities. And so I'm honored to be one of those representatives.
Okay, and we're honored to have you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This segment was brought to you courtesy of Caribbean American Weekly, a newspaper owned and operated by Caribbean Americans. Read the latest edition at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To like us on Facebook, to advertise, or to subscribe, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. To advertise with the Caribbean American Weekly publication, for freelance assignments, to distribute at your business place, visit us at www.cawnyc.com. That's www.cawnyc.com. Or to meet a marketing representative at our office, call 718-771-0988. That's 718-771-0988.